Hello, and welcome to the Tech Bang Podcast. I'm your host, Delvin Santiago. This is the podcast where we take three stories that have been happening throughout the week in tech and bring it to you so you can be informed. So we're making a little bit of an early debut. I have it for January 15th, but there's been actually a lot of stuff that have been happening. So I decided we're going to have three episodes this week, one on Monday, which is the one that you're listening to right now, getting one on Wednesday, and also getting one on Friday. But usually how it always work is one episode a week, every Friday, no matter what. But for today's podcast, I'm essentially going to be talking about CES, since there's a lot of good things that actually happen in CES. Usually, most January, there's not really a lot of tech news other than tech rumors about what Apple's going to be doing for their phone or what Samsung's going to be doing up for their S Galaxy line or Note line. There was a lot of stuff announced. So I just want to take about, we're going to do a top 10 for what I found interesting at CES. And at number 10 is going to be Samsung's almost bezel-less 8K TV. It is as close as bezel-less as it can get. It is their Q950TS bezel-less 8K TV. Literally, it's 1% bezel, which is really impressive. Obviously, most of the average consumer has not even caught up to 4K yet, but Samsung debuting their 8K TV already for the masses. Essentially, for the most part, if you're thinking about buying it, please don't, because even if you do buy an 8K TV, there's really no content that will be able to take advantage of it. So one of the things that a lot of the manufacturers have been doing is you can buy this really high-end TV and usually it'll try to upscale the content that you're looking at. So if you're looking at something that is 4K or even 1080p, it's going to try to upscale it. So it'll look a little bit better, but honestly, there's no point of spending your money on that. So at number 9, I have is Segway. They released a drove of things from scooters, but the most interesting thing is their S-Pod, which is essentially a transportation pod that they debuted. And honestly, from the photos, it literally looks like a transportation pod from the movie WALL-E. But instead of levitating, it has wheels, since we're not at that point yet. That it is decently comfortable. However, he never got used to the controls. And by the way, this is the S-Pod can, from the article that I'm reading this from, which is from the Business Insider, Mark Matoksic. I believe that's how you pronounce his last name. I'm so sorry if I pronounced it wrong. But he, on his experience on being on it, he says, "You're actually going to thinking about buying any of this stuff? Probably buy the scooter. Don't buy a transportation pod. Can hit speeds of upwards of 24 miles per hour. Pretty impressive for a transportation pod. Why does a transportation pod need to go 24 miles per hour? But apparently that's a thing. But he was never able to really control it. They even had a little mini course, apparently, so they can try out the new products that they had. And apparently he was never able to really control it. About number 8. He wasn't really able to control it even throughout the course. He never really felt confident about being able to control it well. At one point, he does mention in the article that he also thought he was going to hit on one of the representatives because he was never really able to control it. So sometimes it would accelerate when he didn't really want to accelerate. So on those lines, so pretty cool. But obviously, you have a lot of stuff to work out. So if you're... So one thing that hit last year was folding displays. A lot of people think that folding displays is going to be the thing. I believe it will be used. In my opinion, I think it will be used, and definitely it's useful technology, but I don't think it's going to be the next it. But I think there will be some useful products that can take advantage of folding screens. And one of those things was Royal. Royal was known for releasing their Royal Flex Pi, which was their version of their bendable display phone, which was a complete failure. They're still using their folding technology by making a smart speaker. At that, it's a $900 smart speaker. So if you think the HomePod is expensive. So essentially with this, the most impressive thing about it is the fact that the Mirage speaker is sporting a 180-degree curved touchscreen, which is pretty impressive because that's essentially wrapping around almost the entire speaker. Oh, so that's pretty cool. But I don't know if I'm willing to be paying $900 for something like that, especially since I don't know what Royal defines smart speaker as. Because for example, a HomePod is technically a smart speaker, but Apple really designed it mostly to be a speaker first, not really a smart home speaker first. So, because with Siri compatibility with the HomePod is really not that big. And honestly speaking, if I had a HomePod, I would not be using Siri that much. I would probably actually turn off the Siri features to begin with, because I don't use Siri to begin with that much. So those are my little 2 cents from that. It also has a 5-megapixel camera on top that takes photos or makes video calls, and has an option for shutter for privacy conscious for those people who are privacy conscious. Which honestly, I don't know, because honestly, you can get a speaker like Alexa, which features all voice control smarts, and honestly, you can, like an Amazon Echo, you can get for like what, $100, I think? Yeah, it's like $100, and also they're always having deals on Amazon for them, so it's really hard to swallow $900 when you can just buy an Alexa product from Amazon for way cheaper. So it's really hard for them to really get into this market, because Amazon is the dominant player when it comes to smart home appliances and accessories. Apparently, the operating system is going to be familiar to people who already have an Echo, only with a few changes, like you can drag your finger laterally so you can fast forward or rewind videos, and vertically adjust the volume. You can also change the ambient light on the bottom of the speaker, according to the journalist on CNET. Who wrote this article? David Priest. According to David Priest, he wasn't really able to distinguish when it came to sound quality, since obviously the CES floor is pretty full and loud, and just so really it can't give it justice by giving it a mini review on how it sounded, which is respectable. But essentially, yeah, the Royal Mirage, bad, but I don't know if people are genuinely going to buy it. I don't think there's no release date that was mentioned by Royale here. This one definitely caught my eye. At number 7, I have the Intel's Ghost Canyon Nook. So for those people who want a very small and modular desktop PC, this might be the thing for you. This is something that Intel's been hunting for a while and trying to really improve on it. This is not like a first idea for Intel. They've been doing these little nooks since 2012. They've been expanding on it more and more and trying to make it more modular and at the same time useful and more powerful. If you're looking for a little powerful desktop, something to look forward to, because usually they're going to be selling the Nook this March as a bare bone system. That means starting bare bones is $1,050 with a Core i5 module, or $1,250 for Core i7, or $1,700 for the flagship Core i9. So we'll see about that. Apparently, Razer and Cooler have both confirmed that they will be selling their own complete turnkey gaming rigs later this year, based on the Nuke Element module. So we'll see when that comes out. And yeah, number 6, we saw pretty impressive cars at CES. I'll start it off with that. People are been excited for a while now, and that's Rivian. Rivian was at CES 2020 this year. And again, I'm going to be reading off an article by Mark Matosik again from Business Insider. Not too much, though. Just a tiny bit more information about the EV company. Showing off their R1T electric pickup truck. So gave a little bit more information. Especially now that the news came out that they got more funding. So obviously they're in a good place and they're really trying to release their cars for this year. Specifically, Rivian says that the production will be starting. The R1T will begin during the second half of this year. Let's see if that is true, especially since he's getting a head start ahead of Tesla's Cybertruck. They won't be delivering on those until next year. So we'll see how that goes. However, Tesla is also releasing their Model Y. And for the second half of the year, they're also going to be doing a limited run of their semi-truck. See how that goes. To Rivian, the R1T will have over 1,000 miles of range, 11,000 pounds of towing capacity, and the ability to accelerate from 0 to 60 seconds. The vehicle will also be able to rotate 360 degrees from a stationary position, essentially pretty damn cool. It'll be pretty interesting to see how, because we've been waiting on this car for a while. Like, I'm pretty excited for the car. But the thing is, they have no experience whatsoever. Tesla's been building their experience and releasing more and more cars, and they're getting better at manufacturing them on a mass scale, especially now that they also released their gigafactories, not in America, but they just did their third one in China. So, and they're about to make another one in Germany. So expanding, including the number one thing that I've been worried about Rivian is their charging network. Because Tesla has it there every day. They are expanding every day on their charging networks. They are hitting that hard. Obviously, they still have a lot of things to work on. At least we know they're working on it, and we know they have an extensive charging network out there that you can go. So even if you're going on a long road trip, at least you know there will be a charging station for you at some point you're going. For the Rivian, my number one concern would be their charging network, because the car might be great, but where am I going to charge it, right? Like, let's say I'm going camping for a few days, or I'm doing a long road trip. Is there any way I can charge it anywhere I'm going? So that really is my ultimate worry about Rivian, and honestly for any EV manufacturer, is charging network. That really is my number one concern. So, but next one, number six, going to Samsung. Samsung, I'm going to say the Samsung Cero, okay, which is a vertical 4K TV. I cannot believe I'm saying this, but they said this. It's perfect for TikTok and Instagram. So this is a TV straight up millennials and generation and Gen Z, essentially, which is just crazy to me. But however, because of this generation being so attached to social medias such as Instagram, such as TikTok, and because their content is vertical, I guess there's a huge segment in the market that would love to see a vertical switching TV. And honestly, I'm not interested in this at all. 3-inch TV. It is 4K, and it also comes with a 60-watt speakers built into the stand, which is the stand also is available on wheels if you want to be transporting it. But essentially, this has been made for their mobile generation, so millennials, Gen Z, such as. So for those who want it, you know, it will be there. Goes the price has not yet released any information on price or availability, so later on we'll see how that goes. My list, cool one that I think OnePlus actually hit pretty well is their OnePlus Concept One phone, which is pretty cool. Partnered up with McLaren. Now, obviously, other than the same papaya hued leather that McLaren uses for their supercars, special feature the OnePlus phone that they were trying to show is the fact that they can make the rear cameras essentially disappear, right? You don't have to see them. Especially since we're in the world now where adding more cameras is apparently one big feature, right? It went from one to two to three. There's some cameras like Huawei, they have four. So obviously that is a thing. So as we're adding more and more cameras to the phones, even though we don't stare too much, I don't stare at my phone too much, but you know, I can see why OnePlus would be doing something like that. But it's not just for an aesthetic. It's also for the fact that it has some good features here. So apparently they have this incredibly thin slice of material called electrochromic glass over the phone's rear camera. So it turns it opaque and transparent when electricity is applied to it. It's not new. This is exactly what McLaren does for their sunroofs. The hardest part was to actually transfer that into a way smaller scale, right? Because in the car, obviously, you can make the glass a little bit thicker, but on the phone, you need to figure out ways to make it that smaller and on a thinner piece of glass. And somehow they were actually able to do that. According to the company, it takes about 0.7 seconds to turn the opaque mode, let's just call it that, to make it disappear, to make the rear cameras disappear, and 0.7 to bring back the camera so you can see the rear cameras again. So pretty cool. Another feature that this adds to the phone, one extra feature that brings is when you bring that feature on, it's almost like, it's like a filter on a camera. So some of the videos that I've seen from The Verge and KBHD and et cetera, is that it can act as a filter. So let's say there's a lot of light coming in, you can turn that feature on, and all of a sudden it can at least control how dark it can get, but at least it does, you can see the difference when it's off and when it's on. So that will be a pretty cool feature to bring in for smartphones for the next coming years. Number three, Samsung's back on it again. This time I was a little thrown off with this one, but they unveiled the Galaxy S10 Lite and Note 10 Lite. Don't know why. So this threw me out a little bit. I'm going to be reading this one from 9to5 Google. The article was written by Ben Shun. So just from reading the spec sheets alone, I can see that they're actually very similar. They both have a 6.7-inch AMOLED display. They both also have the centered punch hole on top of the housing. And they're also housing a 32-megapixel selfie camera. Both phones are also feature a 4,500 milliamp battery, 128 gigs of storage, and you can choose either from 6 or 8 gigs of RAM. And also, they both including Android 10 out of the box, which is actually pretty nice. Because usually Samsung is not really good when it comes to their updates. Now, when we go into the back, that's where both phones are completely different. According to 9to5 Google here, since he was the one getting the first-hand experience here, both offer triple lens cameras, but different priorities. The S10 Lite offers a 48 megapixel primary camera with super steady optic image stabilization. It also has a 5 megapixel macro camera, and then for your close-ups. And then finally, it has a 12 megapixel ultra wide. So yay. While the Galaxy Note 10 Lite has 3 12 megapixel sensors. The primary is a f1.7 sensor with dual pixel autofocus, while the other two sensors are ultra wide and a telephoto lens on top. So take it as you will. Both phones will be having different processors. The S10 Lite will be having a 7 nanometer 64-bit octa-core processor, while the Note 10 Lite is gonna have a 10 nanometer 64-bit octa-core processor. So Note 10 still brings the Note 10 Lite still brings the S Pen feature, so yay, but it also brings a headphone jack. So for those of you who are mad who got the new Note, the Note 10 Lite brings back the headphone jack. And then at number two, oh my God, I just went away from the article. Oh my Lord. So number two is the Mercedes Avatar inspired concept car. Obviously, this is a car that is not for sale, not even close. This is just showing where Mercedes wants to go into the future. This is actually drivable. They actually showed a video of the car being on the road, which was crazy to me because it doesn't have a steering wheel. It's just a huge screen on the inside. This is just a concept car that shows what Mercedes is thinking about, what type of technology could be useful that they can introduce into cars in the next 10 years. So like, for example, the tires, similar to what Rivian can do where it can go horizontal. That's essentially one of the things that the car had. And essentially, you would be controlling the car entirely through a, I can't even call it like a joystick. It's just like pulsing. I guess you can call it like a pulsing joystick. It's like the closest description I can come up with. Because apparently, it pulses according to your heart. Obviously, during the time of CES, obviously, they were acting like it was. But that's essentially what it was supposed to show. But a pretty cool technology that Mercedes was trying to show with the car, in my opinion, was the fact that the car features are fully recyclable, or features a fully recyclable battery, which is pretty cool. And essentially, it's just showing, just like how the movie Avatar showed about taking care of the planet, taking care of our resources, as much as possible. And that's essentially was the idea and the concept of creating this Avatar inspired car. So it was definitely pretty cool looking. It's pretty cool. And I thought it was pretty cool. And I also like the simple idea that it was trying to show, just about that. Number one, I think this surprised everyone, was the Sony car. Obviously, it's just a Sony concept car. This is not for production. This is just showcasing what they're thinking about in the future, just similar to like what Mercedes does, right? So they partnered up with a few industry leaders to build a prototype. Some of those, according to Matt Burns from the TechCrunch, they partnered up with Bosch, Continental, Genetics, NVIDIA, Magna, and et cetera, and many more. But essentially, they just wanted to show in their vision of what they're thinking about their strategy for the next few years. For example, one of their plans is also, so everybody knows that Sony camera sensors are usually pretty good. They're industry leading, right? For example, Apple's cameras uses a Sony sensor. So they want to do this. They want to do a similar thing with cars, where they'll be selling some of their camera components onto car manufacturers, things of that nature. So I think that was pretty cool. And the thing is, it actually looks pretty cool. It takes the design of the car actually takes a little bit of a Tesla, a little bit of a Rivian in there. So it takes a little bit of inspiration of almost all the big EV car manufacturers that are going on right now. Took a little bit of inspiration of that, and they put a little bit of their own take and spin off when it comes to the software inside and how it should look like inside, and obviously the camera component feature of outside to rely on their components. So that was pretty cool. And those are essentially my top 10 that I thought, the top 10 CES presentations concepts that were pretty cool. I think this year we saw a lot more concept based. There was a lot more actually. There was one, the Razer, the Alienware. Alienware. The Alienware portable console. I shouldn't say portable console. It was more like it was a portable console. It was pretty cool. That was actually a pretty cool concept where it was taking in a Nintendo Switch approach, which I thought was pretty awesome. But obviously, a tiny bit thicker, a little bit more fans in there. It was a pretty interesting concept, but I like where Alienware was going with it. And there was a few more things that I didn't add in here, but those are essentially the top 10 that I thought that were pretty interesting, and it shows and it showcases a little bit of where we're going to be going, what type of technology we're going to be seeing for the next few years. So thank you for tuning in for this week's podcast, and you should be expecting about a podcast on Wednesday, and you should also be expecting a podcast on Friday. Thank you so much for joining for our first one. If you want to continue the conversation or have any suggestions or stories you think I should talk about, you can follow me on Twitter at @vane_tech or email me at techvane9@gmail.com. And also, I will also be linking all the articles that I used for information so you guys can check it out firsthand.